hadith that show the importance of ensuring that we follow the Islamic laws of distribution when it comes to inheritance and drawing up an Islamic will. Today we will look at some further details regarding what to write in an Islamic will, certain important aspects, and winding up the estate. After understanding the importance of an Islamic will, now we need to know that when drawing up an Islamic will, what are some of the important topics or aspects that need to be included. So some people don't, that they have to include ibadat that they are owing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fail to fulfill. For example, for many years they didn't perform salah, they didn't pay zakat, they weren't fasting in the month of Ramadan. All of these that were outstanding, Hajj was supposed to be performed, and a person didn't go for Hajj. So all that needs to be written down, because there's a certain compensation that is owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be compensated from the wealth that a person leaves behind, and his hope that through that, inshallah, the person will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, qurbani that he didn't fulfill, vows he didn't fulfill, and all the above that we have mentioned. So that should be put down there. Secondly, a person should make note of every debt, even if it is a debt of a few rands, anything that are in his possession, that is due on him to owe, or is owing it to someone, an amanat, or something he's keeping in trust for someone, someone's jewelry, someone's wealth, someone's assets. Sometimes he's borrowing tools and he's got it with him for many, many years. He needs to write that down, because if that is taken as part of his inheritance, then he will be answerable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one thing. One screwdriver he forgot about and it belongs to someone else and that person didn't forgive him. He's going to be answerable about it. So it's important that all of these should be recorded. And the third thing, which is very important, is ownership. We are living in the same house, we have our wives, but when our distribution is taking place, who owns what? Who owns what? Someone can come and say that this was given to me as a gift. So how do we know who owns what? So that must be clearly defined. Maybe one child will come and say some expensive machinery. Papa gave it to me in his lifetime, but it's not recorded anywhere. Now this can lead to a dispute. So the mother says, these things are mine. The children are saying, it's not yours. This can lead to a dispute. Sometimes extended family come and they say something. So the person makes sure in his lifetime, he makes this very, very clear. Who is the owner of what and what do I own? These are my assets. So that is why the will is there. So it is understood that what's left out of the will are not his assets. And sometimes it has to be clearly defined to avoid any dispute. So this all must be written down. It is preferable that a person has two or three executors. They must be honest, upright, pious Muslims. A person shouldn't leave a kafir as an executor, a disbeliever. Sometimes it's a lawyer that he's leaving as an executor. And they are charging and eating the person's wealth also. And as the time is passing, and they're eating more. So one heir, it's best that one heir should be an executor, one family who is not an heir, and an alim, a pious, upright alim that can advise and oversee the whole distribution. Then it is also mustahab that a person should, if he wants to, he can make a bequest or a wasiyat from one third of his estate, that I want to give so much of my wealth to a certain masjid, to the certain madrasa, or to some poor family members, only up to one third, not the whole amount of his wealth. And importantly, which many people don't realize, our pious elders of the past and present, they make this a point, that they include some handwritten nasihat in their will that should be read to their family when they pass away. For example, they say, I advise you that you perform all your salahs on time, and I advise you that after my demise you should keep the family unity. Do not become divided, do not dispute over trivial matters. Sometimes some personal messages to certain members in the family. So that is also from the pious predecessors. They had this mashallah, this wasiyat that they would make for their children. That after I pass away, I want you to do this, do that, advice. I would like my grandchildren to grow up. They must be huffaz, they must be ulama. Don't turn your attention away from the dunya. So he will write in his own words, and it's nice if it's handwritten, then it has a personal touch. So this general nasihat also should be included. Sometimes we don't think of this. Hazrat Jabir radhiyallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man mata ala wasiyatin, mata ala sabilin wa sunnatin." If a person has this wasiyat in place, he has written this wasiyat, his will is in order, everything he has made sure, everything has been defined and clearly defined and recorded and kept. Then mata ala sabilin wa sunnatin, he passes away on a clear path. Clear guidance have been given, there's nothing left for ambiguity and dispute. Wa sunnatin, and it is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa mata ala tuqan wa shahadatin, and he passes away upon piety, and he will get the reward of martyrdom. Wa mata maghfuran lahu, and he will pass away while his sins will be forgiven. So this is so important that a person has this in order. What a person should not do in the world is changing the shares that are stipulated in the Shariat. Unfortunately, still we find this is so common that people are making their own laws of distribution. That my wife must get so much, my children must get so much, this child I don't like was very, very far away from us, so I won't give this child the inheritance. In Islam, once a person passes away, all his wealth now belongs to the inheritors that Allah Ta'ala has decreed in the Quran and Majid. And no child who is a Muslim, no inheritor that is supposed to receive that is a Muslim, can be excluded from the law of Allah Ta'ala. For whatever reason, it's not our decision, Allah's decision. So I'm upset with him, but he's a Muslim. As long as he's a Muslim, he's going to get his share. So now if I exclude him, I'll be answerable by Allah Ta'ala. If I made it law of the country, by excluding him in the world, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will be responsible and I will be called to task. For example, one of a person's male children, his sons, he excluded. He gave the others, he excluded him. So he will be answerable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for doing so. So it is important that this should be borne in mind, that we cannot make and change the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make our own rules. This inheriting an heir, I explained also, this is absolutely haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qata'a miratha warithihi," a person that cuts off the share of his heir, "qata'a Allahu mirathahu min al-jannah yawm al-qiyamah," Allah will cut off his share of Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. Very, very severe warning. It is also mentioned in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ar-rajul la ya'mal wal mar'ata bi ta'ati Allah." A man and a woman, for 60 years they are worshipping Allah Ta'ala, very pious, obedient. And then at the time of death, they exclude someone and they change the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their will. And because of that, that 60 years of ibadat, despite the 60 years, tajibu lahum an-nar, then the fire of Jahannam becomes compulsory for them. ثم قرأ أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه recited من بعد وصية يوصى بها أدين غير مضار. This is where Allah Ta'ala says غير مضار, and this is without causing harm. Causing harm means excluding someone that's supposed to receive. So these are some of the important aspects when it comes to the will. Lastly, when it comes to winding up the estate, then everything that a person owns, every single thing, the ithar that probably is in his pocket, that is also part of his estate. The topi he was wearing, the clothing he has, his tasbih, anything that is worth even a few rands, all of that is part of his estate. All of that has to go into the estate. If it's worth 1 rand, 50 cents also, a value will be given to it. Every item will be taken and will be valued. And then we will say that this is the person's net worth. This is what he was worth. And now from there, we will have to do the distribution. When a person passes away, we keep in mind that from his wealth, funeral expenses will be paid, his debts must be paid, and any wasiyat up to 1/3 of the estate, that must be first paid. This will be given preference. Whatever is left after that, then that will be from the inheritance that the shareholders will receive according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now remember, I explained last week that it is very simple when there's a husband, wife, children, male and female children, it becomes very, very simple. And parents, then the distribution becomes very simple. When you don't have the father, for example, or grandfather, or male children, or male grandchildren, then the distribution now becomes a little bit difficult. Not just the straightforward and simple distribution. You have to refer it to the Darul Iftas. In any case, it is best that we refer it to a Darul Ifta, and we get a certificate where it will be clearly stated that this is how many portions the estate must be divided into after paying all these above mentioned expenses, and thereafter this person will get so many shares, this person will get so many shares, and so on and so forth. So that will make it a bit easy. But the work behind it is to do all that calculation now, to go and check and wind up the estate. The executors will call up a mashura with all the heirs and explain to them what is happening. All the items and inventory will be made, value will be put to it, and each person must acknowledge and sign when he has acknowledged this is what has been done and his share. And if they have received the share, to have a record of it that I have acknowledged, that everything must be written down. There mustn't be a dispute later. People are like that sometimes. Tomorrow they'll change the story. Mine will change. They'll say, I was given less. They lied to me or they bluffed me or something can happen. So it's best that everything is written down clearly. Some general advices in the last few minutes that we must remember this whole task, as difficult as it might seem sometimes, this is an ibadat. So engaging in this winding of the estate and distributing the shares, this is all ibadat. So therefore a person should not pull back or try and refrain from engaging in this task. One should go forward and see how one can assist and ensure that it is done correctly. Delays should not delay in winding up the estate, because as we explained last week, when it becomes complex, it becomes very, very difficult to achieve the end result. Now you got 3-4 generations, so many people have passed away in between. There should be full transparency. There shouldn't be any doubts that the shareholders have. Everything should be open, everything should be clear. As we explained in the will, one shouldn't deprive any heir, and one can't give the heir any gift in the will. Any gifts that are to be given should be given in one's lifetime. One shouldn't be giving gifts now in the world, that I am giving this item to so and so, that's tantamount to giving them something extra. And a very beautiful advice that is given here is that number one is with regards to the females, an advantage shouldn't be taken of them at that time. They are very emotional. So sometimes people are very cunning, unfortunately, that they make them sign certain documents, give over their shares, etc. So women generally are emotional, they are shy sometimes, or they are very hasty in saying, I don't want anything. So we should make sure that they get their share. And the second thing is that one should have a very, very big heart. At that moment in time, little bit here, little bit there, whatever it is, overlook. And whatever, if we have to take a little less also, and give someone else a little more, then we should have a big heart. It shouldn't happen like how it is so common that people are going to court, kuffar courts, and they're trying to settle their matters there in a kuffar court. And sometimes it happens that rule and that law goes in his favor, for example, and is against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we're going to be answerable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in these matters, we must try and be easygoing. We understand the fitna of the ummah is wealth. But we must try and be better than that. That don't let that wealth now dictate to us our family relationship, for example. Or don't let it cause a rift in the family. Rather, if it's a little here, a little there, let's have a big heart. And at the end of the day, you must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can be one action that a person, to avoid the problem, he takes a little less and he walks away. He just avoids the problem. So it could be that on that action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him so much of barakah in his life that is unimaginable. Unimaginable barakah. Nevertheless, there are certain legal issues when it comes to Islamic wills. How it should be written, what color of pen it should be written, number of witnesses. So all these things become easy when we go to, today we are very fortunate, our Darul Iftas. Or we go to our jamiats, our organizations. It becomes very, very easy. All that is taken care of. They got enough people there as witnesses. They got the documents there also. And sometimes they have lawyers on hand that can make sure that everything is above board and everything is done. So it is advisable that if we haven't done it yet properly, then we should first have a meeting with our ulama in our organizations that we're comfortable with. Go in and try and sort these matters out, inshallah. Make sure everything is above board. And also get the advice, how often should we be updating it also. So these matters, we won't go into those legal intricacies. Also, there might be certain issues like, for example, trust fund and different assets that might be a bit complex now when it comes to distribution. So those aspects also, it is important that we clear everything. Interest funds, for example, has been accumulating in an account over the years. So all these things, we have to go, and there's a lot of things. Usufruct, for example. Someone asked me that husband is going to leave this world and he's worried about his wife and the property, etc. So all these things, there are ways, but it becomes a bit complex to do it in a simple discussion. We have to go and we'll have to sit with a mufti, sit in a Darul Ifta, and iron these matters out, make sure everything is as clear as day. Sometimes the lawyers, they also query matters. Pious lawyers, mashallah, from time to time. Sometimes they also phone and they query, is this permissible, this not permissible. Sometimes accountants, people go to accountants and ask them. So we are very fortunate on our doorstep. We got our Darul Ihsan, we got the Jamiat ul Ulama. So we can go there and we can make sure we get all of this, we get it in order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we can fulfill this great ibadat. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.